We gather in the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning to prepare to encounter the risen Lord. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning.
All God's people said,
amen.
What a beautiful beginning to our worship service this morning. Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church of Elon this morning. Thank you for joining us for worship on this beautiful April Sunday morning. My prayer is that you have joined us for worship to encounter the risen Lord this day. If you are a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. I want to ask you to fill out one of the visitor's cards that's located in the pew in front of you. You can drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. For those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us online this morning. You can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. Pull up our worship bulletin there. Use that as the resource for our worship service this day and for things coming up in the life of our church. Also, if you're a first-time guest online with us, welcome. I encourage you to send me an email this week. Let me follow up with you, share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. We have a busy afternoon of ministry today. Starting at 1:30 this afternoon, we will be going to Blakey Hall at 1:30 to worship on the second floor there. Of course, anyone is invited to join us for that time of worship. We look forward to it every single month, and I encourage you to be in prayer for us as we go and lead worship today at Blakey Hall. Then a reminder that our adult study, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table, will continue this afternoon at 4 p.m. That study takes place upstairs in our fellowship hall. If you haven't been able to join us yet for that study, we've had some wonderful discussion, and we look forward to that continuing this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And if you can't join us in person, you can also watch that study on Facebook Live as well. Of course, if you join us in person, the discussion is much better in person than it is online. But that is at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then, of course, following that, Youth Intensity and our children's ministry will meet at 5 p.m. As you look at our schedule for this week, of course, Monday is our senior adult luncheon. I know we've got over 30 people signed up to come for the luncheon. It should be a wonderful meal. We look forward to having Ron Castile come and share his musical gifts with us. That luncheon is at 11:30, and I'm pretty sure Gay will let you come, even if you haven't signed up yet. But please make sure you let her know this morning if you're planning on coming. But it starts at 11:30 tomorrow. Come out and enjoy a time of food and fellowship tomorrow. Looking at your calendar, of course, Wednesday is choir rehearsal this week. I also want to go ahead and say thank you. Thank you for your generosity as we've collected items for Allied Churches. I looked around the bins this week. We have lots of things. Well, we'll be taken to Allied Churches later on this week. Thank you for your generosity in advance. If you still have some items that you meant to bring today, and you said, oh, I forgot to bring it as I walked out of to come to church this morning, it's not too late. Swing it by the church early this week and we'll make sure it gets to Allied Churches. Also, we're continuing to collect items for the goodie bags for the Elon University for their reading day. We're putting together 60 of those bags, and we're thankful for the generosity that's already come, but we need a few more items. So if you have a chance to pick up some things this week, drop them off at the Communication Center or the Fellowship Hall. And then as we turn the calendar to the month of May, someone asked, well, how's our food pantry doing? Well, I'll be quite honest with you. If you open that door in the food pantry, there's not a lot of food there. We've given quite a bit of food out. We've also gone through and thrown some things out that have gone past due. So the month of May, we'll be collecting items for our food pantry. The items that we place in the boxes each month are listed in your May newsletter. So please make note of those things. Pick up a few of those items, drop them off during the month of May, and we'll make sure they get placed in the pantry as we put those boxes together in the next couple weeks. We have lots of things, other things coming up. I hope you have looked through your May newsletter. You should have received it by email or in person. There's also a few in the foyer area as you leave this morning if you just want to pick one of those up and see some of the things coming up in the life of our church. And then last but not least, I want to remind you that next Sunday, just immediately following the worship service here in the sanctuary, we are going to have a brief special called roundtable meeting. This meeting will just be to vote on our deacon nominating team for this year. We have to vote on this team every single year. The names that we'll be presenting are listed in your bulletin today, but that'll take place right after worship. It will be a very brief meeting. I'm emphasizing brief. It'll be a brief roundtable meeting, but it'll take place right after worship next Sunday morning. So come be a part of worship next Sunday, that roundtable meeting, and of course the lunch that I'll talk a little bit later on about in worship. But we gather here today to lift praise to our awesome God. Let us worship this morning.
Let's stand as we sing, "How Majestic Is Your Name, an Awesome God." Let's praise Him. Thank you. Boy, y'all sound good this morning.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 22, reading verses 25 through 31. Listen to these words. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Though they who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. We are a part of that great assembly of worship today as all those who gather in the name of Christ worship together, not just in this place, but in churches across this world. May we go to our God this morning in prayer this morning, knowing that we join the greater Christian church today in worship this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we, like the psalmist, cry out in praise and thanksgiving in response to your eternal loving kindness, holding us, guiding us, enfolding us with grace. As we gather here as the people of God, we pray that our worship will reflect that divine love. We offer our worship today with the remembrance of Easter still filling us with joy and with the anticipation of Pentecost firing our devotion. Let our praise for all that you have done, are doing, and will do truly resound within our hearts and our homes, within these walls and beyond. We lift this prayer in Jesus Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us be thankful to God for who gives us the victory. Let's stand and sing Victory in Jesus.
So you heard me talk about worship next Sunday and the round table meeting that will take place immediately following worship. But then, following that round table meeting, we will have a wonderful time of fellowship upstairs in our fellowship hall. I hope you will come next Sunday ready to eat lunch in a time of church-wide luncheon and a bake sale that will take place. The luncheon being prepared by our family team includes chicken pie, salad, mashed potatoes, green beans, a dinner roll, and a drink. It will be a lunch that you cannot find anywhere else. You will not be able to beat the price because it is free. However, we are asking that if you would make a donation, and all donations made for the luncheon next Sunday will go towards our roof fund. We are trying to pay off the work that was done to the roof just a couple weeks ago. And everything that we collect during our luncheon next week will go towards that roof. Also, as a part of next Sunday, we are asking church members to make their favorite homemade dessert and homemade baked items to contribute to the bake sale. Now, you will notice on all the things I listed for what we're going to be eating next week, I didn't mention dessert because I want you to purchase a dessert and take it home with you. And I want you to purchase a baked item and take it home with you. It will be a wonderful opportunity to do that, but we want you to provide those items. We know each one of you have special things that you make that everyone loves. We want you to bring those items next Sunday morning, pre-price them in advance so we can place them on a table, and then you can purchase those and take them home to enjoy them with your family and your friends. This will be another part of the raising money to pay off the roof. So bring a little extra cash on hand for that part of it as well. But I hope, most importantly, you'll mark your calendar for next Sunday because it will be a wonderful day of Bible study with Sunday school, a wonderful day of worship. During our worship service, of course, we'll have our brief roundtable meeting and then a wonderful luncheon to follow. It will be a special day here at First Baptist, and we want you to be a part of it. So mark your calendar, Sunday, May 5th, next Sunday. Come ready to enjoy a time of worship and fellowship here at First Baptist Elon. Now at this time, I'll call on Deacon Barry Carroll for our offertory prayer.
Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that this church has for you. And not just for you, but for each other. And Lord, that is so special. I pray that you will bless the offering that people have put in the plates as they came in. And Lord, I thank you for the staff that we have here at this church, that we could just get excited about the prelude that our company is to play, the message that our pastor is preaching, and the directing that our minister of music does to us. Lord, we are blessed, and may we carry this blessing in the community, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, choir, for our special music today. If you would, bow with me as we prepare to encounter God's word once again. Heavenly Father, divine gardener of our souls, you cannot sow seeds of justice, peace, and love where there is nothing but hearts of dry, hard ground. We confess that our hearts sometimes may need tilling and the digging out of the deeply rooted sins that crowd out seedlings planted with divine compassion. God of steadfast love, you change bitter tears of remorseful hearts with raindrops of mercy. Now may we germinate a new life, growing with integrity. God of steadfast love, you change the cold shame of contrite hearts with sun rays of mercy. Now let us sprout a new life, growing with honesty. God of steadfast love, you change the stony edges of repentant hearts into landscapes of mercy. Now let us branch out into new life, growing with generosity. Heavenly Father, gardener of our lives, you tend us in steadfast love, unending mercies, and eternal faithfulness. You cultivate true friendship with you, with us, through boundless forgiveness. In Christ, this faithful love is planted in our souls and in our hearts. Gathered here as your community of believers, our family of faith, with the help of the Holy Spirit living inside each one of us, we can now produce forgiveness for each other as we too are forgiven. Divine gardener of our souls, thank you for devoting the time and attention that we need, yet we do not deserve. Amen. If you did not pick it up in my prayer today, we'll be looking at another I am statement this morning in the Gospel of John 1 that speaks of God as the gardener and Jesus as the vine. Again, let me say good morning and welcome to worship in this final month of April. And then last Sunday, we focused on another I am statement. And this Sunday, we will do the same in the Gospel of John. And in this Gospel, we're going to look at the importance of staying connected. Before we get to our scripture passage this morning, in life, it helps to have connections. Everybody knows that this is true. Maybe you have heard the quote that says, it is not what you know, but who you know that makes the difference. Nothing could be more true for the story of Leopold Page. In 1982, there was a wonderful book that was published. You may have known the book that was then turned into a powerful Academy Award motion picture titled Schindler's List. If you've ever seen the movie, raise your hand this morning. Many of you have. If you have not, I commend this movie to you. It is a poignant, emotional movie, and I will tell you, it will bring tears to your eyes, and it is okay to cry because it is that poignant. The story, which I'll touch on in a minute, but the book, a shopkeeper by the name of Leopold Page was a survivor of the Holocaust. He survived through the efforts of one man by the name of Oskar Schindler, a Roman Catholic man who saved not only Leopold Page's life, but the lives of 900 of his fellow Jews. Page was determined to find a writer who would be interested in telling the story of Oskar Schindler. One day, a novelist, Thomas Keneally, came into the Page's shop to buy a briefcase, and Page told him the story of Schindler. Keneally was intrigued and agreed to commit Schindler's story to print.
What resulted was the story of a man who helped hundreds of Jews escape certain death at the hands of the Nazis. The book was dedicated to Oscar Schindler. The book and the movie, which won 7 Oscars, including Best Picture, more than fulfilled Leopold Page's lifelong dream. He said, "I did not know how I would do this. I did not know how to get this book published. But I promised Oscar Schindler before he died that I would make him a household name." And he did. Leopold Page was number 173 on Oscar Schindler's list. He was 173 of 900 who were spared death at the hand of the Nazis thanks to Schindler. But you see, Leopold Page was a shopkeeper. He was not a writer. He was not an author. But his commitment to his friend led him to connect with people who could bring his dream to a reality. It is important in life to have connections. If you do not have connections, then it is important to make connections. Do not fight it. Make prudent use of the adage, "It is not what you know, but who you know." But then I take it a step further. I take it a step further because there's a more important question that we need to ask on this Sunday morning. A particularly important question for each of us, and importantly, important question that each one of us should ask ourselves really on a daily basis, in this question is, how connected are you to Jesus? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus uses throughout the Gospel of John, "I am" statements to tell his close followers and us today the importance of our connection to him. The words will be displayed on the worship screens behind me. You can find the passage in your pew Bibles as well that are right in front of you. Listen to the words of Jesus, John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." By staying connected to Jesus, we know our broken commandments are forgiven, erased from God's ledger. By staying connected to Jesus and his resurrection from the grave and death, we are assured of our own resurrection. Jesus himself did not stay in the safe immunity of heaven, remote from human sin and pain. He actually entered into our world at his birth in Bethlehem. He emptied himself of his glory, enduring the same temptations, experiencing the same sorrows that we face, then was obedient to crucifixion and death. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb whose holy blood offered on the cross removed our broken commandments from the just judgment of God. This was God's plan from the beginning,
of creation. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God's commandment, they accepted the lie of Satan that it would make themselves equal with God. It was a lie. Their world was radically changed, and because their world was radically changed, our world was radically changed. Peace and harmony with each other, peace and harmony with their Creator was lost. It was shaken. They became afraid. They tried to avoid responsibility, which only created another problem between them. They did not look for God. Remember, God came looking for them. He offered them forgiveness because He still loved them. That's something we can never forget. No matter what we do, God still comes looking for us, and He still loves us. When Jesus rose physically from death in the grave, it guaranteed us the promise of God, the forgiveness to every believer and eternal life. Colossians 2 tells us, because Jesus nailed our broken commandments to His cross and left them there, our impending death is still the last enemy, and it has lost its power to harm and terrify us. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Our soul is eternal, for it will be resurrected when Jesus returns to glory. But, and this brings us to our passage today, until that moment, what are we to do? Are we just supposed to sit here and wait? What are we to do in the meantime? Jesus wants His disciples to know that there is a purpose in this life. There is a purpose for our life today as a Christian believer. If Jesus is the vine, as He says, and we are the branches, then the fruit of the Christian life is good deeds that flows from love. It flows from Him. It's not from us. For God Himself is love, and we are called to imitate Him. Our purpose is to do good deeds that He has prepared in advance for us to do. If you watch the movie Schindler's List, Oscar Schindler, a Roman Catholic believer, his actions were out of his love for Christ. He loved Christ, and so he acted. We love Christ, and so we act. That's the root of our actions. When Jesus spoke about vineyards, the people of Judea knew what He was talking about. We talked about this before. We talked about it last week. I asked how many of y'all were shepherds, and nobody raised their hand. I asked how many of you have ever seen sheep or experienced a sheep. Most of you raised your hand. And then I quickly asked you how many of that made you a shepherd. Nobody raised their hand. I was proud of you about that. Raise your hand if you've ever been in a vineyard. How many of you have raised a vineyard? How many have raised a crop like a vineyard? Raise your hand. I got one. I got two. I got three. So I've got some experienced individuals in this place. I've raised a vineyard before. It's made of poison ivy, poison oak. Just come and look at my backyard. I will call myself experienced in this. No, all joking aside. We grow things. But back in the day, back in the first century, when Jesus was speaking about vineyards, which my three over here will know about more than we do, when He was speaking in the first century about vineyards, He was speaking to the people of Judea. They knew what He was talking about. It was an industry that had been carefully cultivated throughout the country for centuries. It was crucial because it was the cash crop as opposed to the grain, which was raised purely for consumption back in the first century biblical times. To explain it more in our terms of America, back in when America was growing as a new country, the essential crop for our country was corn. Corn was essential for us growing, for us feeding ourselves. It was the crop that was consumed. It was essential, but it was not the cash crop. The cash crop was tobacco. Tobacco was the way what people grew to make money. Corn was the essential crop for people to eat. For Judea, the vineyard, the vine, was their cash crop. But there is something else that these listeners would most certainly know as well. A vineyard was the symbol of their nation. In America, we might think of amber waves of grain, but in Judea, they thought of their nation literally as a vineyard. It was a kind of national identity. Over and over again in the Old Testament, we see Israel pictured as the vine or the vineyard of God. Isaiah the prophet pictured Israel as the vineyard of God. He said, "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." In Jeremiah, we read God referring to his chosen people in this way, "I planted you as a choice vine." Hosea the prophet spoke a word of judgment when he said, "Israel has become an empty vine." In the Psalms, we read over and over again that God compares Israel to a vine that came out of Egypt. So when Jesus was speaking about being the vine, people resonated with that image. Jesus said, "I am the vine. The fruit-bearing branches are my disciples." God, the farmer, is the one who cultivates the vineyard. He waters and tends the soil so that the vine is properly nourished. He takes pride in his crop. But this means that he also prunes the vines and removes the dead wood. The grapes grow on new branches. They don't grow on old branches. Christian author Winter Sweet says this way, "No one likes the process of pruning and the pain of loss, but fruit grows only on new wood." Let me repeat that again. No one likes the process of pruning and the pain of loss, but fruit grows only on new wood. What Jesus is saying is very clear. The disciples receive their strength by staying connected to Jesus. He is the true vine. If they break away from him, they will be like unproductive branches bearing no fruit. Thus, they will have to be pruned. How do you tell a pear tree from another tree? It's by the fruit that it bears. How can you tell an apple tree from a pear tree? It's because it produces apples. How can you tell a Christian from any other ordinary individuals? It's by the fruit that he or she bears. It's just as simple as that. The fruit on the vine, however, is not church attendance. It's not Bible knowledge. It's not your individual stewardship. Sorry, stewardship team. I apologize in advance. While all of those are good things, and they're wonderful things, they're not fruit. They're not fruit. The true fruit of the vine is loving, is a loving and compassionate life. Folks, it just comes down to that. How do you love God, and how do you love other people? That's the fruit. That's the fruit. And you might say, "Well, I love God pretty good, but I don't like other people." It's hard to love God and not love other people. And you might say this, "I love other people, but sometimes I really don't like God and what he does throw at me." It's hard to love other people and not love God. It's as simple and direct
as that. Love God and love people. The first fruit that Paul mentions in Galatians 5 is love. The second is joy, then follows peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You and I cannot produce these fruit on our own because we are by nature too self-focused and too self-centered to do it by ourselves. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to imitate Jesus and thus have these character traits visible to and experienced by others. Jesus says to us, "I am the vine, you are my branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The number one fruit a Christian is to produce is love. Reverend John Stott wrote this: "Love is the principle, the paramount, the distinguishing characteristic of the people of God. Nothing can dislodge nor replace it. Love is supreme." When love is on display, the result will be joy and peace and the rest of the fruit. God gives them to us not when we pursue them, but when we pursue Jesus and others in love. And it all starts by being connected to Him. Two important keys to stay connected to Jesus. The first is this: it is our responsibility to stay connected to Him through prayer, by worship, and the reading of His written word. Jesus said, "You must abide in me and my words in you. To stay connected, we have to be a listening ear. Spouses, how many times have you heard your significant other say to you, "Are you listening to me?" Never, right? Never. "Are you listening to me?" There is a reason. Our spouse knows that marriage needs communications to be successful. If we are not listening to each other, then the result will be misunderstanding, suspicions, and resentment. Jesus, God, is saying, "Are you listening to me?" And how do we listen to Him? Through worship, through singing, through prayer, through reading His word. He's speaking to us, and the question are we listening? The second way we stay connected to Jesus is when we need to listen, not just through these, but listen to His voice. I sat down with a college student a couple weeks ago. There's a class on campus. Many of you may know this. There's a class on campus that tells and challenges. They talk about a lot of stuff, but one of the assignments, they have to attend a church that's different from their background, wherever. And so part of their project is they have to sit down with a staff member to talk about their experience when they came and other things they want to talk about. I sat down with a college student a couple weeks ago to assist with this project. And in a conversation, he asked me a very poignant question. He asked me, he said, "What are some of the defining faith moments in your life?" And so I kind of quickly went back through my life and was trying to think about, raised in church, baptism, you know, I was a young teenager. But there was one moment as I was kind of going through this story, I was trying to go through quickly because I know he didn't have a lot of time. And there was one moment that stuck out in my story that I kept coming back to, and this was it. I vividly remember sitting on a youth retreat at the beach when I was a senior in high school. sitting out on a veranda, watching out, looking out over the beach, and I vividly remember God speaking to me. And in that moment, he said, I have plans for you, David. I have plans for you. You're going to work for me. I am calling you into the ministry. I vividly remember God's voice. If you've ever heard God's voice, you never forget it. If you ever hear his voice and experience it, you never forget it. It is amazing. It is scary. But it is profound. And I fully believe that God speaks to each and every one of us in the same way. Now, whether it's God's voice, or whether it's through the voice of someone else, or the experiencing of something, I fully believe that God still speaks today. It may not be on the balcony at a beach. It may not be in a burning bush. It may not be in a pillar of smoke. It may not be Jesus walking along the shores and calling someone to follow him. But I do believe this, that he's still speaking. And if we listen, we will hear him. And that's the second thing about staying connected to Jesus. We need to listen to his voice. If you don't believe me, Acts chapter 8 tells a powerful story about an individual that just simply listened to God's voice that led to a life-changing experience for another individual, but also for him. The story is told that Philip is told by God through angels to go south on the road that led from Jerusalem towards Gaza. Philip was planning to go one direction, and God speaks to him and says, no, I want you to go this way. And Philip's thinking, well, but this is the obvious way to go, God. And God said, no, you go this way. And he simply walks. Now, we're not told how far he walked, how long he walked, but what we are told is this. As he was walking along, he just started walking. God was preparing him for a good deed that Philip did not yet know. He started walking as an act of faith. And as he walked, he approached a man on a chariot. The Spirit then again told him, go walk alongside of this chariot and listen. And Philip did. As he walked beside this chariot, all of a sudden he hears words that he is very familiar with. This man on this chariot is reading the words of Scripture from the prophet Isaiah. As Philip is listening, he asks the man, do you know what you're reading? Do you know what the words are saying to you, or that you're reading out loud? And this man, who is from Ethiopia, from Africa, says, how am I supposed to know unless someone tells me? God was preparing Philip for this one encounter days before when he told him, don't go this way. But just walk this way. Just go on a little bit of a walk. And he did. And so he explained to him. He climbed up in the chariot with this man, explained what the prophet Isaiah was saying, told him about Jesus, who Jesus was to Philip. And then this man, they came upon a water source, and this man said, why don't you baptize me right now, right here? And that's what Philip did. All because Philip listened. And the story goes that that man went back to his country in Africa and took the story of Christ, the first missionary in Africa. Powerful story, all because Philip simply listened to God's voice. Love told the story of Jesus. Philip simply listened. Love also gives food to the hungry, shelter to the homeless, help to those who are lost,
provision to those in the midst of natural disasters, a helping hand to a neighbor. Love gives friendship to the lonely, comfort to those who are grieving. This morning, I want to encourage you to simply do this. Stay connected to the Savior. Stay connected to the vine. And when you do, you'll be amazed at what fruit starts to grow. Stay connected to Him through prayer and through worship and through reading His Word. Stay connected by listening to His voice. He's speaking. I promise He's speaking. And the more and more that we grow in Him, we start modeling Him, the more we start imitating Him, the more that we walk with Him, the more that we know Him by instinct, we will know what He wants us to do in any situation. And who knows, it may cause you to go in a different direction than you think you were supposed to go. But you never know where that little walk will take you. You never know what life that little walk will affect. But I do know this. God's already been there. God knows where you're going. And He's the vine. Start producing some fruit. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful that I can stay connected to You and that the fruit can grow through You, because I am so limited. Father, may we be reminded that it all started with You, and when we stay connected to You, we can do some incredibly amazing things in Your name. Thank You for the story of Philip. Thank You for the story of Oscar Schindler. Thank You for allowing us to stay connected to You. May we do what we're supposed to do and stay connected. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our closing this morning, as we sing our closing hymn, Lord, be glorified. All the actions that we take, our actions and our words, should be glorifying God. And we're glorifying Him because of what He does through our lives. If today, for the first time, you need to get connected with Him, you need to connect with your Savior, let me tell you to join me down front. Let me embrace you and welcome you into the family of God. Maybe you're looking for a church family that seeks to stay connected and grow and use those fruit, not just within these walls, but in the walls of this community, in the barriers of this community and beyond. Maybe you want to be a part of First Baptist Elon today, or maybe you're just struggling. Maybe you're struggling with that connection point, or maybe you're just going through a difficult time. If you need prayer, I'll be down front. The altar's always open. Whatever you need today, stay connected. Let's stand and sing this morning. man has been a part of our church family for the last couple of months here, and he has jumped in and joined and been a part of lots of things. You see him singing up here in the choir every single Sunday. You know, he's been joining Sunday school, but we're excited. Chris Burns wants to come and be a part of our church family here at First Baptist Elon. He is a wonderful man. If you have not had a chance to meet him yet, I encourage you. Encourage you to come shake his hand, welcome him to the First Baptist Elon family. As I told Chris, we don't vote anybody in here at First Baptist Elon, but what we do is this. It's anybody that comes and joins our church family, we want to show you the support that they have this congregation. So, as a church family, if you promise to pray for Chris as he comes and joins our church family today, if you promise to pray for him, love him, embrace him as a member of our congregation, will you please stand at this time? You have the whole church family that's embracing him. And he said that from the very beginning. He said we're one of the most loving congregations he's ever stepped foot in, and we're excited to welcome Chris to our congregation. Well, I'm going to ask you to just stay down here as I close the service, and I'm going to let everybody else come by and shake your hand and welcome you. So, and he's looking forward to it, but again, as you leave today, know you go into a world that needs the fruit of the Spirit through the so we stay connected to Jesus Christ. Go sharing that fruit, but don't go out that door. Come up this way and welcome Chris to First Baptist Elon.